Oh, may the Lord help us to consider his word this evening. I would direct your prayer for the attention to Ezekiel chapter 36, the chapter that we read part of, Ezekiel 36 and verse 37. Ezekiel 36, the 37th verse. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet, for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel is a complex prophecy in parts. I do love the Hebrew meaning of his name, God will strengthen. And I do love Ezekiel because this was a man who prophesied that certainly in the first 23 chapters that there would be judgment upon Israel, upon Judah. There would be judgment because of their waywardness, because of their serving of idols, and all these things. And yet he himself became one of those caught up in that judgment, taken down into the land of Babylon, some 700 or 800 miles away, which today would be, I think, in Iraq. And he lived with them and still prophesied, and from there onwards the book becomes much more a prophecy of, as it were, deliverance that will come to Israel. And there were some wonderful chapters, aren't there, in this book. And so there were both sets, really. There's the judgment of God, and then there is the blessing of God that is set forth by Ezekiel. And you know, there's one word that so often struck me, and I know there are many that love different parts of this book, but there's a beautiful word, and it says this, as he sat with them by the river, he said this, and I sat where they sat. And what it really means there is that he was with them. He was with those that were taken captive down into the land of Babylon. He knew what it was to mourn over Jerusalem and the fact the Jews were no longer there. He knew what it was to mourn over the destruction of that great city and the temple. And you see, friends, he was part of them. He felt it. He had not just sympathy with the Jews, but empathy. And it's a great favour if we can sympathise with others. Sometimes we can't empathise because we haven't walked in exactly the same path, but there are those times when we can. And may the Lord help us in those things. Now, in this particular chapter, and I leave you to read the first verses because I did want to cover the aspects of prayer brought out by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 11. But the earlier part of the chapter, it does speak of much comfort. The land of Israel will be comforted with the prospect of the destruction and the ruin of the neighbouring lands that have come up against Israel. And also that God would bless them as a people. Now, of course, in Scripture, where it refers to the land of Israel, it also refers to the children of God, as we refer to the spiritual Israel. But you know there is much, that there will be a return into Jerusalem. There will be a returning again. There was, of course, here in the day of Nehemiah and Ezra, there was the returning of the Jews to Israel, to Jerusalem and to Israel, and it happened. And I believe, friends, as the prophecy of Ezekiel even records that there will be that returning. There will be that returning before the Lord comes again. And is it any wonder? And friends, perhaps we shouldn't tremble to preach it, but is it any wonder why there is such a high level of anti-Semitism, both in our land and indeed in the advanced lands of the world? It's a disgrace. But it is so, and it is meant to be so, because the days will come, perhaps, when they will no longer feel that they will be safe in these nations and return in accordance with God's word to their own land, and to yet be brought to see that the Messiah has come. Because, of course, in their religion, they do not accept that. But let us come back to the word. Ezekiel, then, God will strengthen. What a beautiful word. Maybe we need that tonight to be strengthened in our faith. Well, we have, from verse 25 onwards, the great blessing of the gift of salvation upon Israel as a nation and upon the spiritual Israel. They shall be sprinkled. Their filthiness shall be taken away. And their idols, they shall be cleansed. They will be given a new heart. Friends, it's the gospel. It's glorious, this theme. I will put my spirit within you. And friends, if we're true Christian followers of the Lord, we need the spirit of the Lord put within us. Yes, I know we have our own spirit, but we do need that if we're followers of him. And the Lord says that I've cleansed you in that day from your iniquities, verse 33. I will cause you to dwell in the cities. Well, of course, there it meant that you'd come back into the land of Israel and Judah. The desolate land shall be now a fruitful land, just like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate ruined cities will become inhabited. And the Lord says, I have spoken and I will do it. And then we come to our verse. Thus saith the Lord God. You know, that is a fundamental in religion. Thus saith the Lord God. When God says that, it is done. It will happen. It is a certainty. It is most definite. And friends, it comes 400 times in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord God. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall it not come to pass? Friends, maybe you come up, you feel you've had a little hope in something. Maybe a promise of something. And, you know, it seems quite watered down. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Thus saith the Lord God. What a certainty there is. What a beauty in the definite nature of it. It's said, when God speaks, he speaks forever, and it shall be done. Thus saith the Lord God. I will yet. Now the little word yet is an adverb. It adds to the verb, which is I will. But yet, and in this sense of the word yet, it means really for the future, but it means it's almost as if again. It's almost a suggestion that there will be a repetition. I will yet, for this be inquired. I will yet. And it suggests to me, friends, with that repetition, that those prayers and those exercises and those seekings of the Lord that we've had over particular matters, soul and in our life, are to be continued. Yet, I will yet again, continuously, be inquired of by the house of Israel, which is the Lord's people, which is those then that are the spiritual Israel. Yes, literally here, as Ezekiel records it, it is for the Israelites, that they should be inquired of, that they should yet go back into the land, to Jerusalem and the land of their birth. And you see, I believe it is considered that this part of Ezekiel was probably written some 55 years before the end of the 70 years that they were down in Babylon. So they had some years still to wait, and it probably would have been the next generation. But what a promise, what a promise. I will yet, for this, be inquired of by the house of Israel. What is it to inquire? Sometimes you see the word with an I. It's not found in Scripture at all with an I. We, in this country, have inquiries into things. Perhaps a police inquiry, or perhaps a government inquiry into something. And that usually is with an I. But an inquiry with an E tends to mean a questioning. An inquestioning of God. And friends, you know, I believe the true believer knows what it is to inquire of God, as well to inquire at God's throne. And we inquire by asking God for those blessings and those favours that we desire, and that's right that we should, spiritually and in our lives. We ask him. We ask him for things. But you know, sometimes, and I do wonder whether there's one that feels like that tonight, sometimes we can inquire at the Lord. So we're asking him why something is happening, why something is not happening. In other words, I want to speak rightly, but it's almost a prayerful interrogation of the Lord. I think of dear old Rebecca. We have that lovely word in Genesis, and it says this, Genesis 25, verse 22. Rebecca was expecting, and the children struggled together within her. And she said this, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And we read this. She went to inquire of the Lord. So she went to the Lord, and that would have been the question to the Lord. Why is it thus? Why is there this movement, this fighting in my womb? And I believe there were many whys with the Lord's people. Why am I struggling against the weight of sin? Why do I have this one besetting sin that takes hold of me? Why do my thoughts so often fall off from God? Why sometimes do I even find it tedious to sit and read and pray? Friends, let's be honest. Sometimes there's so many things to do in the day. And how much do we want to give to the Lord? And so, I do believe there are those times when the Lord makes us inquire, as it were, in that particular way. Yes, he does make us inquire for particular things, that the Lord would help us perhaps in a problem at work, that the Lord would go before us in the untrodden steps, the Lord would be with us tomorrow and the tomorrows and all these things. Yes, that's inquiring of the Lord as well. But Rebecca wanted to know a reason. Friends, perhaps you want to know a reason for something. Lay it before the Lord. You know he does. He does speak to his people. He does explain through his word in his own way why this is. Lord, I can't understand why I'm walking in this pathway. Ah, that the Lord will yet show you why you are. You know that lovely poem, The Footsteps. There's a question, Lord, why? Why was the one set of footsteps when I was walking through those deep trials and that darkest pathway? Ah, it was because there I carried you. But that why, you see, I wonder if you ever prayed to the Lord, why? Why is this, Lord? Why am I walking in this path? Friends, this is the element of parts of real religion that we have to pray to the Lord in a questioning way. She went to inquire with the Lord, and the Lord answered. But you see, then, this inquiry, I will, but for yet be inquired. It's as if the Lord's saying, I will enforce Israel to come to me in prayer. I will enforce them to lay before me their concerns. I will enforce them to come and to come again. Yet, that will be repeated. I will yet, for this, the little word this, to do it for them. This and it. That's where it becomes very particular for you and me. I hope that one of the thises and the its are the salvation of our soul. Friends, we ought to pray every day to be clear in our salvation that the Lord will put that oil in our lamps, that we're like the five wise virgins and not the five foolish. They wanted the oil, but it was too late because they'd gone off down to the shop to get it. You see, my friends, that's the thing, to be ready for the Lord. And when the bridegroom cometh, that our lamps will be burning. But this, you see, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them, that I will answer their prayers, but I must be inquired. I'm not going to do it without the inquiry. And maybe there's another thought. Maybe you think, well, I have this matter, but I haven't really prayed over it, and perhaps I should have done. Or perhaps it's like this. I have this matter, and I don't feel I can pray about it. Friends, I've walked that path. Is it really right that I should pray for this? And then the Lord has broken me down and said, thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought. No. But to pray over every aspect in our life, in our soul's concerns. I will yet for this be inquired of, to make inquiries. We used to have directory of inquiries. We used to ring, I think it was 192, and it would come up with a particular number that we wanted. Friends, we have a great director of inquiries, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know this, there's no particular number to dial this, so I want to speak rightly, friends. What it is he wants us to be on our knees before him in prayer, pleading that he would grant those that deliverance that we need. But he will be asked. He will have us to ask him. And I do love that chapter that we read, because there's so much guidance in it, Luke 11. And you see, it started off with the Lord Jesus Christ praying, which was vital, really. It came to pass that as he was praying, as soon as he stopped praying, the disciples wanted to know how to pray. Have you ever wondered, in Luke 11 verse 1, just how beautiful the prayers of the Lord Jesus must have been. As the disciples listened to those prayers, they really wanted to know how to pray. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. And teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. John the Baptist, who refers to there. But he said unto them, when ye pray, our Father. Oh, lovely friends, when we can pray to the Heavenly Father. And of course we do pray to the Father, and I know it's through the mediation, that is, of the Lord Jesus Christ standing between, but to pray for the dear Heavenly Father. And of course we have that perfect prayer put before us. But you see, and notice that, how it seeks for providential things as well. Daily bread. There's nothing wrong, friends. You know, I hear and I remember as being a younger person being much discouraged. That the minister stood up and said, if you've only ever prayed for things in providence, you're not there. You haven't got the religion that you need. It's your soul. Of course it's our souls. But more and more I've been led to see that the things and the circumstantial matters in our lives are used for the benefit of our never-dying soul. Because we're living here below in our life. It's a daily life. Our daily needs. Our daily bread to be provided. The daily circumstantial matters that we get drawn into. You know, friends, I had a trying journey. It took me 2.5 hours. But as I sat there in the traffic, the Lord opened up 2 different texts to me to preach from on the coming Lord's Day. And you know, I sat there and I felt most thankful that it had been a profitable time. You see, this is the thing, isn't it? To prove in our providential things, then, like me being stuck in traffic, how can that be for the good of souls? How do I know, friends? Because the Lord brought these texts, and may they be used for the good of souls on the coming Lord's Day. That's the thing. And you might say, well, why weren't you thinking about how you were going to preach tonight? I have to be honest, friends. At that point, no, I wasn't. Because we have to lean and trust upon the Lord. But, you see, He will have us to come. He will have us to come. But those things in our life. And I read today a testimony that a dear friend gave me shortly to be baptised. And you see this. In it, they started by saying they were fearful that there were so many matters in providence in their life. Friends, what a mercy when God uses those daily things for the good of our never-dying souls. And so we come to it. Give us our bread. Forgive us our sins. That's vital, of course, and so on and so forth. But what I was coming to was this man who had a friend that came to him, and he went to his friend to ask for 3 loaves because he'd suddenly got someone that was hungry and had come to him. And at midnight of all times. What I love about this inquiry is that, friends, it's not like man-made inquiries which are 9 to 5. It's a 24-hour inquiry at the Lord, isn't it? How thankful we are for the small hours sometimes. You wake up in the night, you can't go back to sleep, and perhaps you get on your knees in prayer. Not literally, but in your bed, you lie there and pray. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, make a way in this. Lord, make me as to be one of thy chosen vessels. But you see that inquiry. We come on and said then, this case, the door's shut, my children are with me, I cannot rise. And he doesn't give to him that it's made clear because he's his friend, but he gives because of that lovely word, importunity, which is persistence. And so it is, I will yet for this be inquired of. You must be, the message here, you must be as helped of God, persistent in your prayer. Help me to persist, Lord. Help me to continue steadfast in prayer. Because that is really the message here. You know, the Lord will have us. He will have us to pray for certain things. And I believe you'll have those it's in your life where you will be brought to beg and to plead and pray again and again and again. And then eventually the Lord will bring it to pass, and you will look on and see. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Friends, you must have those things, I'm sure, even this evening, upon your spirit. If you're a true believer in the Lord, you will. Yes, and this is how the Lord works, to have us to have this importunity. And of course, the next verse, verse 9 that we read, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I love that, because those first three letters of those words, ask, seek, knock, the first three letters are ask, as you read down, ask, seek, knock. Ask. Both ways. Well, friend, may the Lord help you to keep asking. For he says, everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Yes, the way of salvation. But it's for the house of Israel to do it for them. To do it. To bring these things to pass. So that their faith will be strengthened. So that they will believe in me. So that they will continue in prayer in other matters. So that they will continually see that I am their God. And that all power is given unto me before men. Jeremiah says in chapter 29, then verse 12, then ye shall... verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Yes, that importunity, but that fullness with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn again your captivity. I will gather you from all nations. Yes. And from all places whither I've driven you, I will. All those I wills. And again, I thought of Zechariah. I think it comes in... excuse me. Zechariah 13, when it comes in verse 9, I will bring the third part through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried, and this, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, that ownership, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Yes, what a great favour that is, those answers to prayer. I remember reading about Frank Gosden, a pastor, I think, at Heathfield and then Brighton. And when a young man in 1910, he was 20 at the time, he came right away from his attendance to chapel and he started to go to other places and he didn't seem to feed anywhere. And well, he said, I was walking home and walking the streets in desperation, really. And he said, I stood and leant against a lamppost and prayed to the Lord that he might enter into my heart. He said, I didn't have a Bible on me, but he said, strangely enough, I had a Gadsby's hymn book tucked away in a pocket. And he opened it up and he opened it, I think, on hymn, I think it was 331. And which says this, beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. And he said he felt that the Lord would... If he prayed to the Lord, that the Lord would guide his doubtful footsteps right. And he was led back to the chapel and led to follow the Lord in due course. But you see, he was enforced in prayer. He was enforced in desperation, not knowing what to do. And I do believe it's a wonderful mercy that God will bring forth prayer out of his people. And he enforces it. He brings us into those situations where we can't cope. We can't do it. We don't know what to do. We don't know where we get deliverance. Mr. Harold Jempson came to Staplehurst one Sunday afternoon, and my wife and I had been exercised about the gift of a family for many years, and that had not happened for us. And he came with this text that I've never heard it preached from before or afterwards. Give me children, or else I die. And at that time, friends, that very providential matter for me was linked with my soul, for I felt the Lord had given a promise some years before. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed again, and it seemed as if the biggest brick wall was in front of me you'd ever saw. It looked as if I was boxed in, and the whole matter seemed hopeless. But the Lord found a completely different way. And as you know, some of you, but those that don't, well, we adopted our two girls and they were given to us of the Lord. It was a most remarkable thing. But he did it his way. I will be. After many years of inquiry. But you see, that's in providence. But it was a blessing to my soul. Because give me children or else I die. Lord, if I'm wrong in this, I'm wrong in everything. Have you known that pathway? Many of the Lord's people have. It's those answers to prayer. You come in with the Psalm 34. I love that psalm. This poor man cried. You see, that's what you're going to be brought to have to cry. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And as it says later on in that chapter, the righteous cry, those with right thoughts and right feelings, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What a great favour. Well, friends, I must just come to this last part. It says, I will increase them with men like a flock. When I read that, I'll be totally honest, at first I thought, well, what does that mean? What does it mean? Clearly it sets forth blessing. Clearly it shows favour. But what actually does it mean? Well, friends, it really meant literally, as Ezekiel prophesied, that the city of Jerusalem and those cities back in Judah would indeed be increased with the return of the Jews. They would be increased and there would be many Jews return, that it would be like a flock of people. That's the natural and literal, as it were, interpretation of that word. But I do believe it means this, that indeed with blessing my people shall be blessed. There will be an overflowing of the soul. They will know what it is to sing my worthy praises because I have delivered them from those situations that they prayed about. That's what it is. Yes. And therefore, I will increase them with men like a flock. I will increase them with those thoughts of favour towards me. There will be a godly increase. Of course, it is our prayer in the churches that we will be increased with men and women and children like a flock. And there is that we would desire in that sense as well, is there not? But I will increase them with men like a flock. The work of God alone, to bring them back from this barren state there, down in Babylon, to bring them back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to praise God, to rebuild the city walls, which they did in 51 days, despite the enemy and the opposition that they had from many. Yes, but you see, I will increase them with men like a flock, only because they've inquired, only because they've sought me, only because of their importunity, only because they've come again and again and again to seek the Lord. Yes, well, friends, may we be enabled. I was reminded in my thoughts this afternoon before I left home, and we pondered the word, In my own thoughts, I was reminded when I came here the first Sunday I ever preached amongst you here in October 2018. And in the evening, I took that word, but Peter continued knocking. And what reminded me of that was, of course, Peter was knocking at the door of the house where they were gathered after he escaped from the prison. They were gathered praying for him. But you see, what reminded me of this was my thoughts a couple of years ago when in our chimney we had some birds that decided to nest. And about halfway down the chimney, and they would, you could hear this knock, knock, knock sound all the time, and it kept going as they built their nest. And you know, at that time, it struck me spiritually that we need to keep knocking at the throne of grace to build that nest in heaven above. It's through prayer. We read this. The Lord Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. In prayer, that means. And the violent take it by force. May you and I be enabled to pray our way on that we can take the heavenly kingdom by force. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. Amen.